The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
If Adam had not sinned and Eve had sinned, would their offspring have had sin? That's a great question, and it's what we're going to discuss on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us for this episode of Grace in Focus. We're currently taking questions from listeners just like you. If you've got a question that keeps you up at night, I hope you'll send it to us. You can do that through email, radio@faithalone.org. Well, let's go right to today's discussion. Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, here we are back at Grace in Focus. My name is Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob. I understand you're dealing with some allergies.
The grass is trying to kill me. It's trying to kill me, Bob.
You've got more bags under your eyes than I have when I go to the airport.
Yeah, exactly. I have more than Sharon. You'll only bring one bag.
No, no,
but
please.
But Sharon's going to bring
please,
like 20 bags.
I get the joke. Sharon won't like that one.
My bags are going on vacation.
Your bags,
my bags have bags.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so the grass is trying to kill me. I mean, I grew up in an Arctic environment for half the year, you know?
Right.
It was like there was no pollen, there's no living things. It was all just snow.
Where was this, Montreal?
This is Montreal, Canada. This is what I grew up. And so during this, you know, I come to North Texas and I want to die half the year.
Well, do you take allergy medicine?
I take Claritin. I take Flonase. If I take Benadryl, then I just can't even operate. Like, not only heavy machinery, just like my body, I can't operate anymore.
Function, yeah.
Some people just get drowsy. For me, I go into like a zombie type
catatonia
state. Yeah, I don't know what it is. Anyway, so I feel I'm particularly nasally, and I apologize for that. But I was just listening to our show the other day.
Yeah, what'd you
and
find?
And I didn't realize. Do you ever hear yourself and you think to yourself, really, is that what I sound like?
Yes.
Do you ever
Yes.
I was listening to the show and I was like, that's exactly what Bob sounds like, but there's no way that's what I sound like. I sound like some type of.
Okay,
you know,
so who was the guy that was the voice of Darth Vader?
James Earl Jones.
So don't we both, in our own minds, sound like James Earl Jones?
No, I'm not that deluded. But, why, do you sound like James Earl
exactly,
Jones?
Yeah, exactly, in my
You're
mind.
You're like Darth
Vader?
Okay. Well, that's awesome. Yeah. No, that's how I breathe at night with these allergies. I sound like Darth Vader.
Yeah, while you're trying to breathe. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, Abby and I we're getting a king bed so that she can, a little bit of her own space, so she doesn't have to hear me breathe all night with these allergies. Anyways, all right. Well, enough about us.
Okay, no.
I mean, part of this is developing a connection with people, and so they're
everybody's.
You know, we were at the conference, and some people came up to me, and they're asking about details of Abby's life that there's absolutely no way they could have known. And then I realized I must have mentioned it on the radio show. I was thinking to myself, how on earth could you know that about my wife and my children? Oh, it's because I'm a blabbermouth, just talking about my life here on the show. But anyway, so I do speak the truth, but maybe I shouldn't speak as much as I do. Here's a question from Timothy. Timothy asks, if God is omnipresent, this is more of a philosophical question, if God is omnipresent, does that mean he will also be present in the lake of fire for all eternity?
Yes.
So that's a yes, but it's kind of like a yes and no. So in one sense, in God's omnipresence, he's everywhere, and so he'll be in the lake of fire.
Right.
But in this special sense of, like, let's say the Father's Shekinah glory, that's not going to be in the lake of fire.
No. Oh, no.
And Jesus bodily in his glorified body, he's not going to be in the lake of fire.
No.
Do you think, I wonder if he could visit, though. I don't know.
In his physical body? He could, of course.
Could he visit? I suppose the Holy Spirit could, because again, the Holy Spirit is presented in the New Testament as appearing in particular places, so it's kind of like a special manifestation of his presence, I suppose.
Right.
Like at Pentecost. Could he hypothetically appear in the lake of fire? I guess so.
Right, but Timothy's question really is concerning God's omnipresence. And his omnipresence needs to be distinguished, and you know the word, is it panentheism or whatever it is? It needs to be distinguished from the fact that God is not the rocks and the trees, and he is not in the rocks and in the trees. God is everywhere present at once, but yet he's also distinct from the creation.
Yeah, and that's
what's that called?
Yeah, pantheism is that everything is God.
Okay.
Panentheism is that everything is in God, but that God is more than that. You know, then there's just the idea that the creator is totally transcendent from creation. But, you know, Paul says...
And that's called transcendence,
and that's the doctrine of transcendence, I suppose. But Paul talks about, you know, we live and move and have our being in God. And panentheists appeal to that verse to say, see, we exist in God, even though God is more than us. But we only, you know, something like that.
Right.
Do you have a thought about that verse?
Yeah, that we're living and our life is sourced in God. So not only do we have physical life, but we also have everlasting life in God.
Yeah.
And, of course, we live the Christian life in God.
Yeah.
You know, we even have it in our currency, in God we trust.
Yeah.
Well, I think the idea is all of our life is in the sphere of God's influence.
Yeah.
And it's not that somehow, I mean, what did I hear recently? I think it was Craig Glickman talking about this at our conference. And he said, we need to recognize there's a difference between God being everywhere.
Yeah.
And yet at the same time, God not being in everything. Okay. And he said, basically, the solution is to recognize God basically exists in a different sphere than we do.
A different, oh yeah, he said, did he say different dimension or what?
I think dimension was the word he used, or universe. But the idea is that it seems to me you could argue that God's omnipresence does not extend to the lake of fire because that's going to be in some sort of dimension or universe that's outside of where God wants to be. I don't view it that way. I would say, no, God's present everywhere, but that doesn't mean God is attuned to all those things. But some of this, I think, has to do, Timothy, with the fact that God is God and we're not.
Yeah.
And his mind is so far beyond our minds that we can't grasp everything about God. So the fact that we have some areas where we say, I don't really grasp that fully, should be no surprise. In fact, I heard one theologian, and he said, the very fact that I don't grasp the fact that God's eternal, right? He has no beginning. We can't even fathom that, right?
Yeah.
For you go back at forever, and God existed forever before that.
Sure.
And forever before that. There is no beginning. That's beyond us. And this theologian said, actually, once I came to grips with that, at how awesome our God is, it gave me such great comfort.
Yeah.
Because God is awesome.
Right. I mean, listen, our water filter broke last night, kind of just flooded underneath the sink.
And uh-oh.
It's all just kind of mushy and kind of, and we were trying to, Abby and I were trying to fix it. I can't even figure out how to fix a water filter. Let alone figure out, you know, God's omnipresence with respect to reality,
right,
and how that works,
right?
You know?
And how God holds the universe together.
Yeah, so I'll work on the water filter knowledge, and then we can get to this omnipresence and multidimensionality that Dr. Glickman was talking about. All right, Timothy, is that okay? anyways. Okay, but that's a good question. I love that's what's exciting about theology. You get to think about
it. And by the way, Timothy's question comes from a psalm like Psalm 139, where
can I flee?
Merism is used. If I go to the highest part of heaven or the lowest depths of Sheol, if I go to the east or to the west, there's nowhere I can go where God isn't there. And
right.
So that's where we get that idea.
Right. All right, here's another kind of, it's kind of a speculation-type question. Well, there's two of them, and this is from Richard. The first one's kind of like a speculation question. He says, if Adam had not sinned, but Eve did, and they stayed together and produced children, Adam without a sin nature and Eve with it, would their children have inherited a sin nature? And so that's a
okay. A quick answer to that would be no,
because
the sin nature goes through the father.
Well, is there such a thing as a sin nature? First of all,
well, I wouldn't call it quite a sin nature, but the sinful inclination, what the scriptures call the flesh, goes through the father.
Now, where do you get that in scripture?
Well, for example, the virgin birth.
Yeah.
If Jesus had a human father, then he would be a sinner.
Why would he be a sinner?
Because then he would have the flesh pass through Joseph.
Yeah, but the flesh isn't sin.
I don't mean the physical body. I mean sarx, which is, the way I understand sarx is, yes, sometimes it refers to the physical body, but normally soma is used for that.
Yeah.
Sarx typically refers to this inclination which is contrary to what God wishes. What Paul talks about in Romans 7, where the thing I wish to do, I don't do.
Right.
And I find this competing desire within me.
Right.
That is the sarx. That's the flesh.
Oh, so you don't think Jesus had that temptation and he just chose not to sin?
Okay, I'm not sure I understood the last question.
Well, so the sarx is, I guess, an inclination or temptation to sin. Right. We would say Jesus is sinless, so right. Couldn't he have just had the flesh, just normal human, you know, the flesh, and just resisted the temptation and so not sinned?
He could have. The fact is, Jesus was incapable of sinning.
So it wouldn't matter if he had the flesh.
Well, it would in the sense that if a person has this sinful inclination, they sin. That's the whole point of Romans 5, 12 to 21.
But not Jesus, because he would have been incapable.
Right.
And even if he was capable, he would have resisted.
Right. So I don't know. we're getting off into some wild stuff here. But let me say this. If Adam had not eaten the forbidden fruit, and Eve, of course, did, then his whole scenario is wrong.
Yeah, they wouldn't have probably.
They wouldn't have had any children because it would have been bye-bye for Eve. She would have, I don't know what would have happened, but most likely God would have created another woman for Adam that would have been sinless. And Eve, I don't know what, she probably would have gone through life as unmarried and no children, and she would have hopefully come to faith quickly. But she would have eventually died.
Maybe Jesus would have had to come right
die
away.
Die for her.
Yeah.
Well, he'd have to die for her at the very least.
Yeah.
But these kinds of science fiction questions are beyond the scriptures.
Oh, and by the way, so this is kind of like a speculative sci-fi type question.
Yeah.
Which, again, is interesting, but we shouldn't get lost in the details of these things. There's enough actual positive revelation for us to learn. Well, Richard has a second question, but we'll get to that in the next show. So until then, we'll see you guys.
See you guys.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you be interested in some free ebooks on subjects like what you hear on the show? Well, if you are, you need to come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On the site, we've got all kinds of free materials, but one of our popular options are our free ebooks on a range of subjects. They're designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of the faith and Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out more about how you can give, go to faithalone.org. Would you like to have a chat with Dr. Bob or Sean? I know that I enjoy it. Let me tell you how to reach out to the team. You can get us on our email address, which is radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about whether God's forgiveness comes along with eternal life. So join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.